Today on Real Radio.
We are one in Christ. Boy, are the children of Israel going to find this out. Self-confidence always leads to defeat.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. We're in sort of a mini-series, taking a look at chapter 7, the whole chapter, by the way. This section of Joshua's book records one of Israel's defeats as God's people enter in and take the promised land. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now as he takes a look at the reasons for this defeat. It's a lesson called Five Steps That Lead to Defeat.
God has brought us from this relationship with Moses and the children of Israel who were doubting and complaining and whining. The Lord saw to it that that generation that did not believe and trust in Him perished in the wilderness. And even Moses himself did not enter into the promised land. God had a whole new economy. He had a whole new group of people. And as these children of Israel grew up, they believed in the Lord. And the Lord appointed Joshua to be their leader. And so Joshua leads them from the area of Moab. They cross over the Jordan River by faith, that is. Remember the Ark of the Covenant passed in front of them? And the priest entered into the water, and the Jordan River began to dry up during its flood stage season. And 2.5 plus million people passed through that area of the Jordan River over opposite Jericho, and they encamped at a place called Gilgal, the circling. And at Gilgal, God there has the men circumcised. Why? Because they had now entered into their walk of faith. No longer a walk of works, but a walk of faith. And after you enter into your relationship with Jesus Christ personally, then comes the fruit and the walk and the labors of Christian experience, of the relationship of faith between us and God. And so the crossing into the promised land came first, then their acts of obedience, because it came out of a heart of love. And all the men, as we saw last time, were baptized, you could say baptized, I guess, in our modern day New Testament context, they were circumcised. An outward display of an internal commitment. And so they're dedicated to God. And then God says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to attack Jericho, very strong and formidable city. And this is how we're going to do it. And you could almost see all the guys get on their camouflage. They got the chalk on their face. They're rubbing dirt in their mouth and face and ears, putting bushes in their head, you know, pulling their knives out, sharpening them up. Okay, how are we going to do it? And God says, okay, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to put all the priests up front. What? What are those wimps going up front for? Let us soldiers be up front. No, we want all the pastors up front. Oh, yeah. Let's send the pastors up front in a war first. Let them get knocked off first, you know. And we're going to go around the city. Uh-huh. And then what? Yeah, we're going to blow our horns. Okay. And, we're going to go back to camp and camp out for 24 hours and do it again the next day. And we're going to do it day after day until we come to the seventh day. Yeah, and then what happens? Well, we're going to go around the city seven times tooting our horns. And on the seventh time, we're going to shout, and I'm going to knock the walls of the city down. And whenever those city walls come down, wherever you find yourself, you go straight in and take the spoil of the city. Take all of its gold, take all of its silver, and all of the things dedicated to their paganism, and it will be the Lord's. It will be God's. And they, this is how we're going to win, huh? They said, this is how we're going to do it. It's all by faith. And, wow, that's wild. No cruise missiles. No Patriots. No F-117s. God seems foolish. Have you noticed in your life when God calls you to do something, how often it seems foolish? That's because He wants to be in control, and He wants you to always know that. So what happens? Great victory. They win the battle at Jericho. and everything is riding high. In fact, the last verse of chapter 6 tells us a wonderful thing. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. And you just want to go, all right, the children of Israel are victorious. They're walking by faith. They're children of faith. God is with them. What could be against them? No weapon, the Bible says, formed against you, formed against them will prosper. Nothing's going to trip them up except themselves. You and I are our worst enemy. I want you to jot it down this morning. We're going to look at 5 steps to spiritual defeat. 5 steps to spiritual defeat. Very, very important. And we are actually going to cover the entire chapter. Can you believe that? I didn't think you'd believe that. But we will. This morning's message is not for the faint-hearted, I'll tell you that, but it is for all those who would say this morning, I know Jesus Christ. If you would stand in the ranks and say, I've entered into the promised land, I'm a Christian, I'm in Christ, then this message is for us this morning. If you're not a Christian this morning, you want to listen carefully, because quite honestly, you may not want to become a Christian after I give this message. Oh, not because you should, and not because you ought to, and not because becoming a Christian is the only way to heaven. God says so. You might have second thoughts this morning about, hey, I don't want to be committed. I don't want to have my life dedicated to anything but me. I want to be the captain of my ship. I want to be the leader of my clan. I want to be number one. I want to be the dude that calls the shots. Then you may not want to hear this morning, and you may not want to become a Christian. So listen carefully. Those of you who are believers and those of you who are not, these are 5 steps that lead to spiritual defeat that we'll be seeing this morning. Verse 27 of chapter 6 ends on a glorious note. The nation is glowing with promise. But look at verse 1 of chapter 7. But the children of Israel. You need to circle the word but. It is a terrible word in Greek. It's or Hebrew. It's ominous. It means that what has been the norm has now ceased. Oh, this is tragic. There's been great news thus far. How it's been going with you now stops and it changes. That's what that word but means. I had somebody come to me recently and they said, I've walked with God all my life and then I did this thing and now. Have you ever heard that before? There is recovery, by the way. Thank God there's recovery from sin. But sin must be dealt with. First of all, sin regarding salvation has been dealt with by Jesus Christ on the cross. The way of salvation has been paid for freely. There's nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing you can do to discredit it. There's only one thing you can do, and that is reject that. And by the way, that's what warrants an eternal hell, is rejecting the free gift that cost God everything he had. The rejection of that ticket, that pass, that license to go from this fleshly, carnal, temporal, perishing earth into God's eternal presence must be dipped in the blood of Christ. If your ticket is not dipped in the blood of Christ, so to speak, you don't get in. It's a free gift. But regarding sin that separates us from God, every Christian understands this. That when we sin now as believers, we are to be quick to confess and quick to turn from our sin. We don't lose our salvation, but we do have fellowship broken with God, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. This word but here introduces a drastic change in the relationship of Israel, Joshua, and God. But the children of Israel, it says, committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing. So the first thing we're going to see is in verses 1 through 5, the first step is self-confidence. Jot it down. Self-confidence is our first step to spiritual defeat. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. regarding the accursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabda, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Wait a minute. One guy by the name of Achan stole something? Well, it wasn't just something he stole. But yes, it was just one man. And God's upset with the whole nation? Absolutely. Listen, God saw Israel as one people. He saw them as one nation connected together, intertwined one with another. Listen carefully. In the New Testament sense, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is one, the Bible says. We are members, what does it say? One of another. Paul says in Romans, no man lives or dies into himself. That is, whatever you do in your life affects my life. Spiritually. Maybe physically. You may be sitting here this morning saying, I don't think so, because I've got my little private world. I've got my little drug deal on the side. I come to church. I've been coming here for years. I got my little pornographic thing. Nobody knows about it. And things have been going fine with me. My life's blessed. My job's blooming. Things are doing fine. You know what? It affects my life. What I do privately affects your life. You may not think so, but God will see to it that it affects your life in ways that you may never recognize. If you're a Christian this morning, your life and my life affect one another, how we live. I can go on a sinning spree and think I'm only affecting me. And yet somehow it will affect you. A church across town or around the world, a true church of Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus, someone there can be sinning, and in God's economy, though you may think it's so far removed, in God's economy, it affects how you and I succeed in this life, in this world, in spiritual matters. And you know what? As Americans, as Westerners, we need to break our little individuality, our little bubble that we have. I've been on airplanes all this week, and it cracks me up. And I'm sick of them. I'm just sick of them. And you throw your stuff in, you just throw yourself. My rear end is shaped like the seat of an airplane now. I think it says Delta across the bottom even. And it's so funny because you just give up after a while. And you see people come in, and this is space. And people, they go for the armrest. It's mine. And this is my, and it's this, and you're, if your backpack strap crosses over to the other person's place down there in their seat, you see their foot. They push it over. They push it back. Is it that important? And it's funny because then when it gets real bumpy, everybody wants to hold hands. When turbulence comes, oh, yeah. Oh, when it's bumpy, now you want me, huh? It was funny, yesterday my cookie rolled off my plate and over to the guy next to me. It just went boop, boop. And I would have normally just grabbed it. Wouldn't you just grab it? But there's this special zone. It's invisible. And I looked at him. And it was, may I cross over to retrieve my cookie? There's this sense of individuality that's inbred with us. And when it comes to the church, that can't be anymore. It can't be like that anymore. If you're not praying in your home, it affects my house. If I'm eating my kids up and living as a hypocrite, it affects your home. We are one in Christ. Boy, are the children of Israel going to find this out. Self-confidence always leads to defeat. But the children of Israel committed a trespass against the Lord regarding the accursed things. Achan, this man Achan, by the way, his name means trouble or the troubler. It says that he's of a certain lineage. We'll come back to that in a moment. It says that he took of the accursed things. Remember, God said, when you take Jericho, all the stuff's mine. I want all the stuff. Your first relationship in acquiring goods into the walk of faith, the first of it's mine. God said this. It's not to be debated, but Achan took some of it. Now, do you think God needed the money? Do you think he needed the silver and the gold that Achan took? No. In fact, we'll find out in a moment that Achan stole the Babylonian Calvin Klein garment. It's only one garment. You think God wanted it? No. It was dedicated to God. That's the point. And God says, all that's yours, the first of it, or we can say the cream off the top, God says it's mine. But if you give him the cream, he's going to bless your life. A lot of people, they'll come in and they'll say, you know, we're not making ends meet. It's just terrible. And one of the things, you know, I don't want to get into this because we don't talk about, we avoid it at all costs, is this thing about money. We're a church committed to not talking about money. But watch this. This is a spiritual fact. God says, the first of your increase, give it to me. That's time. That's energy. Yeah, it's money. You see, you're okay with energy and time, but money. Wait, God, that's my space. You stay out of there. Don't let anything come over on this part. And I'm not going to have my cookie roll over there. That's for sure, God. These are my cookies. And God says, I want the first cookie that comes out of the oven. The first one. I want the first one. God says, look, to keep your heart healthy, to keep you from getting self-confident and all trusting in the resources of self and having all this stuff amassed, I get the first of it. We don't like to hear that. Some people come in and they say, I can't pay my bills. And we have, thank God, the Lord's raised up financial counselors that will, and they love the Lord, these guys, and they'll say, well, here's where you begin. The reason why you're having problems is you got to give God first. Whatever your heart desires, in whatever direction, to whatever ministry, wherever in the world, but you got to put him first. I don't understand it, but if I'm not tithing to God, I go belly up financially. And then you might come back and say, I can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you, after 21 years of being a Christian, I've learned the hard way. I can't afford not to tithe. When I get my check, and yes, the bills have been coming in every day, when you sit down, what do? Do you write God his check first, or do you go straight to Citibank first? No, let those sit there. Write God first, his check, and then begin to pay the bills. I don't know how it works. I've tried to work it out on paper. It doesn't work. But God always gets us through at the end of the month. I don't know how he does it. But he does it, and untold hundreds and thousands and millions of his believers' lives. Why? Because if you do that, it causes you to be confident in him, not self-confident. Oh, but I got the money. See, whoever's got the money or the resources or the weaponry or whatever it might be has this tendency to be a little cocky. And in verses 1 through 5, we see self-confidence challenging their faith. God says Israel has trespassed. This word trespass is a tremendous word. It's not the word sin. To sin is to miss the mark. You know that. Trespass is to see the mark and walk up and intentionally miss it willfully. Or to draw the line and to see it drawn and to step over it. James Dobson talks, I think it's in The Strong-Willed Child, a friend of his that was at a Laker game. And his friend said, you can go, honey, with his little daughter. You can go anywhere you want around this place, but don't go out on that court. Those guys will step on you. Stay away from that red line that goes around the court. And he laid it all out to her. And then the next thing he knew, his friend goes, hey, isn't that your daughter down there? And she's looking at him and she's got her foot up in the air. And she's looking at her dad on the grandstands, looking to get his attention, to make sure he sees that she's going to put her foot on the other side of the line. That's called transgression. It's not a sin. Sin means you're running, you're serving, you're doing, and you cross the line. And oh my gosh, I'm sorry, Lord, I crossed the line. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. That's a sin. Transgression is this a line? Right here? God says, yeah. Well, what do you think of that? And you just step right over it. God goes, I'll show you what I think of that. But God says, Israel has sinned. So you and I would appreciate it very much if you and I would put away our sin that we think is a secret. So you and I could do much better. Because you know what? You and I are going to find out real soon that Jesus Christ is coming back, or we're going to die soon of old age. I hope he comes back soon, but he better hurry up or else I'm going to die of old age. It affects us, one of another. So God says, you know what? Israel's in trouble. Why? Achan has sinned. The nation has sinned through this man. So watch what happens here regarding self-confidence. It puts you in touch with what you believe to be human resources because he's stealing for his own selfish gain. We'll see this in a moment. But this self-confidence aligns us against God. If we're not God-dependent, we are self-confident. Self-confidence will always deceive us. It says in verse 4, so about 3,000 men went up there from the people. Now, what's that all about? Oh, Joshua sent out spies to look at the city of Ai. They had whipped Jericho, so now it's time to attack Ai. So the spies come back and they tell Joshua, things aren't right here. There's a little too much self-confidence going on here. Joshua hears the report. Hey, what's up? Yeah, you know what? It's a wimpy town. Instead of taking the whole Israeli army, let's just take 2,000 or 3,000 guys. Instead of Joshua falling on his face, the Joshua we know, you know, he basically says, whatever. He's loosening his connection with the Lord, confident in the victory of Jericho from the mountaintop experience. And he's not careful. And he sends out a couple thousand guys, and look what happens. It says in verse 5, the men of Ai struck down about 36 men of Israel and chased them before the gates as far as Shabarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. That is, when the people returned to camp at Jericho, the nation of Israel, their hearts melted. By the way, the word in Hebrew for the word heart is that their courage, their awareness, their alertness failed them. It's not cardo, heart. It's their awareness. Their awareness melted. The word melted means to liquefy, to become loose, to become diseased or infected by discouragement. This word melted. Their understanding, their thoughts, their peace completely melted, loosened, liquefied in their hearts. The nation just began to, they were, listen, next week we'll talk about part two of what this means when it happens to a nation like Israel, when the internal courage and patriotism and guts of a nation is loosed and gone through it. Like someone who's sick, they eat something and it goes right through them. There's no assimilation of the nutrients. There's no digestive powers working to strengthen the body. The courage is gone. These people are devastated. And you say, well, so what? There are people in other nations devastated. Devastation comes to every nation. Israel, it has come to them more than any other nation because God has called them to be his chosen people, and disobedience always has ramifications.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at Joshua chapter 7, it's a study called Five Steps That Lead to Defeat. It's a look at how the people of Israel suffered defeat while entering in and taking the promised land. Five Steps That Lead to Defeat. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this incredible book in the Old Testament, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that you can visit us at realradioactive.org and drop Pastor Jack a line of encouragement. He really loves to get your emails. realradioactive.org and then click Radio Reaction. By the way, our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.